Empire by Clifford D. Simak. Chapter 1. Spencer Chambers frowned at the spacegram on the desk before him. John Moore Mallory. That was the man who had caused so much trouble in the Jovian elections. The troublemaker who had shouted for an investigation of interplanetary power. The man who had said that Spencer Chambers and interplanetary power were waging economic war against the people of the solar system. Chambers smiled. With long, well-kept fingers, he rubbed his iron-gray moustache. John Moore Mallory was right. For that reason, he was a dangerous man. Prison was the place for him, but probably a prison outside the Jovian Confederacy. Perhaps one of the prison ships that plied to the edge of the system, clear to the orbit of Pluto. Or would the prison on Mercury be better? Spencer Chambers leaned back in his chair and matched his fingertips, staring at them, frowning again. Mercury was a hard place. A man's life wasn't worth much there. Working in the power plants, where the sun poured out its flaming blast of heat and radiation sucked the energy from one's body, in 6 months, a year at most, any man was finished. Chambers shook his head. Not Mercury. He had nothing against Mallory. He had never met the man, but he rather liked him. Mallory was just a man fighting for a principle, the same as Chambers was doing. He was sorry that it had been necessary to put Mallory in prison. If the man had only listened to reason, had accepted the proposals that had been made, or just had dropped out of sight until the Jovian elections were over, or at least had moderated his charges. But when he had attempted to reveal the offers, which he termed bribery, something had to be done. Ludwig Stutzman had handled that part of it. Brilliant fellow, this Stutzman. But as mean a human as ever walked on two legs. A man utterly without mercy, entirely without principle. A man who would stoop to any depth, but a useful man, a good one to have around to do the dirty work, and dirty work sometimes was necessary. Chambers picked up the spacegram again and studied it. Stutzman, out on Callisto now, had sent it. He was doing a good job out there. The Jovian Confederacy, less than one Earth year under interplanetary domination, was still half rebellious, still angry at being forced to turn over its government to the hand-picked officials of Chambers' company. An iron heel was needed, and Stutzman was that iron heel. So the people on the Jovian satellites wanted the release of John Moore Mallory. They're getting ugly, the spacegram said. It had been a mistake to confine Mallory to Callisto. Stutzman should have thought of that. Chambers would instruct Stutzman to remove Mallory from the Callisto prison, place him on one of the prison ships. Give instructions to the captain to make things comfortable for him. When this furor had blown over, after things had quietened down in the Jovian Confederacy, it might be possible to release Mallory. After all, the man wasn't really guilty of any crime. It was a shame that he should be imprisoned when racketeering rats like Scurio went scot-free right here in New York. A buzzer purred softly and Chambers reached out to press a stud.
"Dr. Craven to see you," his secretary said. "You asked to see him, Mr. Chambers?"
"All right," said Chambers. "Send him right in." He clicked the stud again, picked up his pen and wrote out a spacegram to Stutzman and signed it. Dr. Herbert Craven stood just inside the door, his black suit wrinkled and untidy, his sparse sandy hair standing on end.
"You sent for me," he said sourly.
"Sit down, Doctor," invited Chambers. Craven sat down. He peered at Chambers through thick-lensed glasses.
"I haven't much time," he declared acidly.
"Cigar?" Chambers offered.
"Never smoke."
"A drink, then?"
"You know I don't drink," snapped Craven.
"Doctor," said Chambers, "you're the least sociable man I've ever known. What do you do to enjoy yourself?"
"I work," said Craven. "I find it interesting."
"You must. You even begrudge the time it takes to talk with me."
"I won't deny it. What do you want this time?"
Chambers swung about to face him squarely across the desk. There was a cold look in the financier's grey eyes, and his lips were grim. "Craven," he said, "I don't trust you. I've never trusted you. Probably that's no news to you."
"You don't trust anyone."